Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
And here we go. We're off on Tua Tuesday. It is 96.5 The Fan, Fesco and Dusty, with executive producer Mac Morey on a Tuesday. Tuesday.
I like Tuesdays.
We
know. Naked Tuesday for us.
No secret, the NFL week is officially week one is in the books.
Done, baby, done.
It's over. It is officially time to move on from all your expectations, all your critical thinking, your armchair quarterbacking. We are on to week two.
We are finally on to week two, and I think the biggest takeaway from week one is the Chiefs are by far the best team in the NFL, and I don't really know who that second best team is.
Sure
you can make
you
the case for Baltimore. Nope. You can make the case for San Francisco.
Bingo, nailed it.
Other than that, Dusty, I don't know that anybody's in the conversation right now after 1 week of the NFL of a team that could be in contention with the Chiefs when it comes to the top of this league, other than those two teams. And to me, this league has shown in week one, it is very top heavy right now. You've got three really good teams at the top, and then you got everybody else jockeying for position there at the bottom from 4 to 32. You know,
I think there are four teams in the NFL that have solidified in 1 week that they're the focal point of where everything kind of lies. I think your top two teams are the two teams that represent each other in the Super Bowl last year. Mm-hmm. I think the Chiefs are far and away the better team in the AFC. I think San Francisco proved it last night. For many reasons, why they are the best team in the NFC. Brock Purdy looks the same.
Yep.
Deebo Samuel looks like he can still be a weapon. And they were a late scratch to Christian McCaffrey,
wow,
which I think took a lot. And we'll get into that. But I'm just trying to explain why I think these are the two best teams.
Yeah.
And maybe we will have a repeat. I mean, I'm okay with it. I would love to see it. I wouldn't hate it. But I think the number one team in the NFL is the Chiefs, and I think the tier two, 1A, 1B, are the Chiefs and the Niners. I think the next two best teams, like if I had to look into a crystal ball and tell you what the AFC Championship game might be and what the NFC Championship game might be, as of right now, I think it could be Kansas City versus Baltimore, and I think it could be San Francisco versus Detroit.
So basically, we're still sitting where we were a year ago.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't disagree with any of that, actually.
Which doesn't happen very often. In the NFL, I remember last year, a lot of people thought it was going to be Philadelphia, Kansas City repeat in the Super Bowl.
Sure.
But look, I mean, there's not a lot of teams out there in the NFL, at least in week one, that like when I sat back, like Miami had spurts.
Mm-hmm.
Like when Miami got a turnover and then the very next play, it was like Tyreek Hill, 80 yards. I'm like, that could be a team that could be somewhere surprisingly in the AFC Championship game. And I know there's people driving to work, rolling their eyes going, come on, Dusty, Tua in cold weather. I'm just saying from what I've seen in week one.
Buffalo, well, they could play all their games down south and then have to play the championship game up
right,
here too. You know,
which doesn't mean they're not going to be in the championship game.
Right.
But again, I think from what we saw from at least when we did the cover two, my thing was, can Houston maintain? And they fought with Indianapolis, which that's going to be a battle for the years to come with C.J. Stroud and
Anthony Richardson.
Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, yeah.
That could just be fun to watch. But my other thing was, who's the NFC team that sticks out? Detroit and the Rams went to overtime. That was divisional round game last year. They looked like they were neck and neck, you mm-hmm. know, whatever. There's a lot of emotion there, obviously, with the two quarterbacks and the trades. But San Francisco, man, you lost your best player right before the game, which apparently they knew Friday night.
Right.
But they still won 32-19, and that's not a bad Jets defense.
Well, that Jets defense was empty for nine plays where Sauce Gardner was sitting on the sidelines, right, or whoever it was sitting on the sidelines last night for the Jets. But that score 32-19 isn't even indicative of the way that game was played. At no point in time did I think the Jets were ever part of that football game, right? And for the 49ers to do it without Christian McCaffrey the way that they did was pretty impressive. I think that's a really impressive win. I mean, if you take the best player away from every team in the NFL, how many of them are still going to go out there and have an opportunity to put on a performance offensively like San Francisco did last night? Not many of them are going to do that, right? And so that was a big time win, I thought, for San Francisco. I thought the Jets looked exactly like I thought the Jets were going to look, an overhyped machine that went out there and fell absolutely flat on their face. They couldn't get it done on offense. They couldn't get it done on defense last night. There's already pouting and infighting going on, you know, on the Jets sidelines. You've got Hassan Reddick, who's still holding out and doesn't appear to be showing up anytime soon in New York. Coach Rogers is really battling for his job right now as a head coach there in New York, because that team that he assembled as general manager is not performing well at all. And yeah, he's the head coach, he's the GM, he's the team captain, he's everything but the owner of that team last night. And I didn't see anything spectacular at all out of the Jets. I thought San Francisco looked very good last night. And again, tip of the cap to Kyle Shanahan for getting this team ready among, I guess, I don't want to say scandal. Mike Florio's now new whipping boy is going to be, I think, the San Francisco 49ers, because he is peeved at the injury situation and the way things went down with Christian McCaffrey over the weekend. But they did a nice job of recovering from Christian McCaffrey not being in the lineup. I mean, that's a devastating blow when you lose your best player by far, and he's not going to be part of what you're trying to do on offense, and you don't seemingly miss a beat, and you score 32 points, which is one of the higher point totals of the weekend, you know, in the NFL. So I thought San Francisco really played well last night. They impressed the hell out of me, and the Jets did exactly what I thought they were going to do. They'd be all there for the fanfare before the game, and then once the game starts, they'd revert to a 40-year-old man playing quarterback that was just very average at best.
Yeah, I mean, look, there was a lot of just average quarterback play in week one.
A lot of average quarterback play. A lot of bad quarterback play, too.
And that's, you know, that's just kind of the way that some things go week one. Nobody is literally going to be a, you know, show up front runner.
Right.
But it's nice to know that of the teams that we've seen, Kansas City, San Francisco, Baltimore, Detroit, I think that's your first four. I think those will be your top four power rankings.
Yeah, I would imagine.
And, you know, even, you know, some people could be out there like the text line, San Francisco is better, Dallas is better than the Chiefs. I don't believe that.
Well, how is Dallas better than the Chiefs? Dallas is a very marginal team.
Well, that's
right?
According to the 913.
Oh, okay, I got you.
And, you know, I think that when you look at the best teams, they're the ones that have kind of the total package, like the Lex Luger sort of thing, is that, you know, Kansas City's defense is way above average. Mm-hmm. Their offense is also above average, and they're coached by somebody who kind of has a cool, calm, collected, you know-it-all Andy Reid. You look at San Francisco, Kyle Shanahan has his system.
Yep.
The look that he is leaning into is something I could get into for 20 minutes. That hair and that hat, it looks like he spent all summer as a roadie for Morgan Wallen. And that's fine. He can live his life. But he has his sort of play. He has his sort of, like, his way that he coaches, and it works in that system. And then you look at Dan Campbell. He has given everybody the punch in Detroit. They have all drank it, and it is effective, and it is effective, and it is contagious, and it's working. And you look at John Harbaugh. Look, like the Harbaughs or not, there's a reason he's been there for 17 years.
Yeah,
there's a
legit
reason why he's
yeah.
successful. And those are the same teams that all have that same thing in common. And Kansas City just so happens to be a little bit better than all the others because they've actually proven they can get it done, right? They can win the Super Bowl. They can get all the way to the championship game and actually win it. And I do think, non-biased, non-Kansas City media guy, I do think the Chiefs are the better team of everyone in the top four that we've listed because of the fact they have a rookie wide receiver who looks like he's wise beyond his years. They have a second-year receiver who looks like he could be a 1,200-yard, a 1,300-yard receiver. And they have a receiver that we've yet to see that's a veteran, and they have a veteran tight end and a quarterback in Patrick Mahomes. So adding all that, but then looking at around the league to see after week one, who can we focus on to say who's the top teams? I think it's Kansas City, San Francisco, Detroit, Baltimore, in maybe that order. Maybe you can flip Detroit and Baltimore depending on what you see.
Yeah, depending on how you want to rank it. But Kansas City's on top because they're better than everybody else at the most important positions in all of football. I got a text on Friday afternoon as I was working out over at the J talking to the good folks over there, and it was from Zach Gelb, who does the afternoon show on the Infinity Sports Network right now, right? National radio show. And he goes, rank these guys of their importance to me in Kansas City. I want to get it from a local. And it was Reed, it was Mahomes, it was Kelce, and it was Chris Jones. And I saw his list, and quite honestly, I said, you've got the list wrong. It starts with Brett Veach, then it goes to Andy Reid, then it goes to Patrick Mahomes, then it's Travis Kelce, then it's Chris Jones. You've got to put Brett Veach on top of that list. Any conversation about why this team is good really begins and ends with him, because he is that personnel guy who delivers these players to Andy Reid, right? And Brett Veach has done an unbelievable job. But that's why the Chiefs are on top, and that's why nobody else right now can hold a candle to them, because they are better at every position that matters on the field and off the field than everybody else in the National Football League. I know the football writers like to wax poetically about the guy in Philadelphia, Howie Roseman, that everybody's a ball washer for that guy. Brett Veach is better than Howie Roseman. He's got more Super Bowls. It's a fact. Prove it. Andy Reid is the best head coach in this league. Travis Kelce's the best tight end in this league. Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in this league. And Chris Jones is arguably the best interior defensive tackle in this league. When you have all of those guys in those key positions that are just better than everybody else at what they do in this league, that's how you maintain yourself on top. And I've said it for years, Dusty, is that quarterback coach combination. That's what you have to look at when you go into a game. And this Robert Sala, Aaron Rodgers, coach quarterback combination just doesn't do it for me. And in fact, I was bored watching Aaron Rodgers last night. And I think he finally got to the point where he was going to play after 2 years of really not playing in a football game. And he had a couple of nice throws, but for the most part, he was a pedestrian quarterback last night that I was bored watching, and it didn't jump off like, oh my God, this is Aaron Rodgers. I thought the San Francisco 49ers did an amazing job of bottling up that offense, not letting the running game get going, not letting Garrett Wilson get going, not letting Aaron Rodgers get going. Their offensive line for the Jets was a mess. I mean, that thing's going to implode sooner rather than later in Jersey, and I'm here for that. I am getting my popcorn ready for that Jets implosion that begins today. As soon as you flip on ESPN, I'm sure they'll all be losing their minds that the Jets got housed last night.
Interesting side note yesterday. I think we were all kind of taken back whenever we got the notification on Twitter that Christian McCaffrey wasn't going to play.
Yeah.
Jordan Mason was asked about it after the game. Quite interesting.
When did you find out that you'd be in the starting lineup?
That question right there is why I'm at. That's why I don't like really talking to media, because you say one thing wrong and then, you know, I don't know. Just skip that question.
Yeah. The initial answer.
When did you find out that you were going to be starting?
When I found out, maybe Friday night, you know, something like that. I was always prepared. I mean, when
did you? And the reason that he's upset and responds this way.
That question right there is why I'm at.
Because now he knows that San Francisco will be investigated because maybe they hid some sort of injury report. And if you want some sort of story to fall back on to give reference to be like, Dusty, you're out of your mind. You're talking out of your ass. I'm not. Go look at last year with Joe Burrow's situation. Shows up to the game with the cat, like the little hand,
yeah,
the injury tape. And then in the post game, he has a different sort of tone. I found out Friday. Then all of a sudden, the NFL's going to be like, well, they knew McCaffrey was not going to play Friday, and they knew this kid was going to play, but we didn't get any information until Monday. Something has gone awry. Something's fishy. We're going to investigate you. If you're hiding something, you could forfeit a draft pick, or you could have some sort of issue coming up in the future of your team.
But there's also the opportunity that somebody does get healthier. I mean, it's Friday sure. to Monday, right? Like, I don't think we have to sit here and declare somebody out. Now, Mike Florio is going to take this to federal court, as he already has. There's two major articles he's already written about this today. So just be ready for the Florio downfall. At least he's going after San Francisco at this point in time and not worried about Andy Reid retiring or anything like that. So he's going after San Francisco for this. I personally don't care. If they told this kid on Friday, hey, chances are you're probably going to have to play on Monday, get ready, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. They don't need to report that because there is still Saturday and Sunday and all day on Monday. That's essentially three full days. Maybe Christian McCaffrey can heal. We don't know the extent of this injury now.
Shouldn't they put him questionable?
Wow, who the hell cares? They did put him questionable.
The NFL cares.
No, the opponent should care too. I would care.
They did put him on as questionable. Mike Florio's arguing they should have put him as doubtful.
Oh, gotcha.
And they had him as questionable on the injury report. And, gotcha. You know, it could go either way, with Christian McCaffrey. I just think sometimes we make a big deal out of, you know, the way that these teams report these injuries. I understand gambling's involved and all of that kind of stuff, and you want to be upfront and open about it because you don't want to tick off your gambling partners. But at the end of the day, I mean, they said he was questionable. So if you're the Jets, you should have been preparing for Christian McCaffrey regardless. And if you prepared for Christian McCaffrey, you should have been able to go out there and stop Jordan Mason because he's not as good as Christian
McCaffrey.
But
we can all agree that it seemed a little fishy that it was 25 minutes before game time and everybody's like, oh, McCaffrey's not
right.
playing.
Well, yeah.
Because if it's something that only shocked a few people, I understand.
Right.
But the entire football nation was like, oh, he's out because all the reports before that were like, his calf is fine, his hamstring's fine, he looks to be playing, he's, you know, limited in practice, but he's going to play.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden it was like, he's not playing. Yeah. He's inactive.
But I'll play devil's advocate on this because I wasn't there. Like, I don't know the extent of the injury. I don't know what rehab he was going through. Something tells me Christian McCaffrey battled his ass off until that 90-minute mark to try to get ready to play in that game last night. And by the time he got to that, you know, 91st minute or however, you know, before you have to announce the inactives, he probably finally went, I can't go, and I'm going to get out. He strikes me as that type of guy with that injury history, with him trying to prove that running backs aren't overpaid all the time because they get hurt. I kind of feel like, and again, that's just my opinion, I feel like he fought his ass off up until the last second to be able to be activated for that game last night.
It is week two, and there's only one strategy that the Cincinnati Bengals have. I'll explain what that is. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Back here on 96.5 The Fan. I did not speed to work today. Some people did. Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens. Damn, glad to have you on a Tuesday. Taco Tuesday.
Oh, that's right. It is. Mm. Yeah.
Mm.
Big day. It's the only day of the week you can get tacos.
I think I might actually do tacos tonight.
What are you going to do?
There's a cool little nook in the neighborhood called Carmen's.
Oh, I thought you were going to make your own.
Nah.
All right. Some ground beef on that Blackstone.
Too much work.
All right.
But I do want to dive into what's too much work, which might be the Cincinnati Bengals. They got one strategy, boys. They got one strategy. They're going to try to talk a whole bunch of hogwash because that's what they did last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
When they asked Jamar Chase, hey, by the way, does anything scare you or stick out on that defense for the Chiefs? Nah, not really. Okay.
All right.
And look, I know that there are different tactics and ways to try to be a nuisance to a team that you are less superior to. We can all agree the Chiefs are better than Cincinnati.
Yep.
At least after 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
And we understand that things aren't really going that great in Cincinnati.
Never does seemingly at the beginning of the season, does it?
And
1-10 under Zach Taylor in weeks 1 and 2.
Pretty wild.
Crazy.
So... and we'll get to Dayton Hughes a little bit later. He'll join the show, and we'll talk to him about when players do this sort of thing, what it's like in the locker room to just kind of be like, what you can literally use for bulletin board material and what you use is just like, I really don't know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, Mr., you know, flapping your gums, Jamar Chase, isn't, or at least wasn't, attacking the Chiefs at the end of the game yesterday or Sunday, let alone his own coach.
I'll just say turnovers, man. That was the biggest thing today is turnover. Turnover battle will be lost.
Do you feel like you were getting open and having great windows
to shoot? I had opportunities.
Did you think the game plan was any different today because of your limited practice time?
You got to ask Zach.
How would you describe the relationship at this point after everything that happened?
Who? It's still the same.
Are you feeling better? It came out that you were sick yesterday.
Yeah, I'm feeling a little better. I'm about to get another IV.
What happened?
Excuse me?
Did you get sick?
Food poisoning.
Yeah. What percentage would you put yourself at today going up? How did you feel?
It doesn't matter. I played, bro. Don't matter.
You saw the reason why the offense came out so flat.
Yeah, I feel like we always start like that. You know what I'm saying? Especially the first game of the year. I feel like we should do better by that, by now, especially.
But even being flat, I feel like y'all, it seems like y'all talk about it once, only to come out that same way again, same way y'all do see it for so many years. Like, why do you think y'all...
Gotta ask Zach.
Fix that issue.
I don't know, man. Ask Zach, bro.
So, It kind of seems like the sky is falling in Cincinnati. Now, I understand, pump the brakes, Dusty, it's week two, but you're getting ready to come into the kingdom. You're getting ready to play the standard of the NFL. You're getting ready to play a team that's won back-to-back Super Bowls, that's beaten you in AFC Championship games in the regular season last year after you came in and talked a whole bunch of you-know-what. And now you're kind of hearing your number one wide receiver who wants to be paid kind of take shots at his head coach. And you just mentioned it, 1-11 under Zach Taylor. And his opening, what is it, in his first few weeks of the season? And now you got your star receiver saying, ask Zach. Again, I think that there are times when players will call Andy Reid Andy, but normally it's Coach Reid or, you know, Andy Reid. And you can just kind of feel like there's a lot of tension within that locker room. And it's with their star wide receiver, their head coach, and their quarterback. Whereas the star tight end, the star head coach, and the star quarterback in the other locker room come week two, there is the complete opposite, complete difference in the two teams.
But this is rinse and repeat. Like, this is every year with the Cincinnati Bengals at the beginning of the year. Somebody's mad about not getting paid. Somebody's mad about the coach. Somebody's mad about this. They start 0-2, and then they finish up the regular season, and they're in position to make it into the playoffs. And so I'm looking at the Bengals right now as a bunch of noise that's coming out of that operation. Clearly, you don't want those distractions out there, but they're still going to come into this stadium on Sunday, and they're still going to play a good football game. I'm still not disrespecting and saying, oh my God, the Bengals are done, because hey, they're still one of the better teams out there until they prove that they're not one of the better teams out there. But that infighting is something to be a little bit concerned about. He's already blaming the coach after week one when he showed up to nothing in the preseason to get ready for where he is right now. And so the coach is probably like, I just don't know how much you're capable of doing. You weren't here all training camp long. You didn't really show up and participate in anything that we had going on over these last couple of months. And so we're probably going to have to limit what you can do and limit, you know, what part of the game plan you can be in. And instead of calling out the coach, just go out there and do your thing and, you know, try to play as best as you possibly can. I don't know that this is Zach Taylor's fault that they're in this spot right now. He's mad at the situation involving his contract, but I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like Ja'Marr Chase has been mad about his contract since the day he was drafted. Like this is a guy who, no matter what you do, doesn't seem to be happy with the situation that he's in. And I understand you want to get paid and guys need to get paid and they should get paid, but at some point you have to just go out there and play. And I just feel like, perception wise, Ja'Marr Chase has been bitching about his contract for the last couple of years.
And I think, again, I don't know how much is to blame necessarily on Taylor, but at some point we know this is to be the case, that when the locker room seems to fizzle out, the first person to get blamed is the captain of the ship.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Things just seem a little tough right now in Cincinnati.
Well, you lost Joe Mixon, and it didn't help that he played well on Sunday. I think everybody saw Joe Mixon play, and if you're in Cincinnati, you're going, damn, you know, we let this guy go. He was a big focal point of your offense. T. Higgins probably not playing again in week two, some of the earlier reports say, because of his injury, so he's out of the lineup. So you've taken two of your best offensive weapons, arguably, from a season ago. They're not here, and the other good weapon that you had, and Ja'Marr Chase, just didn't show up, and now he's finally gracing you with his presence, and there is a little bit of a timing mechanism that's probably off. You're not 100% when you've missed training camp, you know, all that time and didn't participate in practice, and so there's probably a little rust that needs to be shaken off, and that's what the first couple of weeks are for the season. I think not only is Zach Taylor 1-10 or 1-11 in his first 2 weeks, you look at Joe Burrow, he's 1-8 as a starting quarterback in his first 2 weeks of the NFL season, so he doesn't play well early on. So there's a lot of adjusting that's going on in Cincinnati, but I always find, like, when people try to talk trash and deflect the attention, like Ja'Marr Chase, it really is a bigger situation than you're letting on. You're trying to blame others when really you could just stand up and look in the mirror and take that blame for yourself and realize, you know, I missed a lot of time and we got to get this thing back together. Don't throw that blame at your coach, because when you do, now you're starting to divide that locker room. You're dividing your fan base. People are going to saddle up and take sides on who's right and who's wrong and all of this. And that's that's just not good. And as, to your point, you don't see that here in Kansas City. That's because you have a strong leader in Patrick Mahomes, you have a strong leader in Travis Kelce, and you have a really strong leader in Andy Reid that everybody absolutely 100% respects. And the organization also takes care of its players, right? This organization will show you that if you go out there and you earn it on the field, we're going to give you that money off the field if we believe you're a player that we want to invest in long term. The Chiefs have done that with just about everybody on this roster.
It seems just to be kind of a disastrous situation for Cincinnati because this was Schefter on T. Higgins.
He got a hamstring injury, and we'll see how the week plays out, but I'll be surprised if he plays this week against the Chiefs.
So probably no T. Higgins. Not sure the percentage. I don't really like to put percentages on players to see how healthy they are with Joe Burrow. But, you know, miss some reads in the game. And look, the other thing I will say, to play, like you said earlier, devil's advocate, maybe the competition of the Chiefs will raise the awareness
usually
of the Cincinnati.
Usually does. It does and, for everybody.
I mean, last year, what was that guy's name that was keeping him in the game the whole time with running the ball, their quarterback that filled in for
Burrow? Oh, Jeff Driscoll or something like that?
They were in, I don't know why I can't.
Jeff Darlington?
Whatever, but they were in the game the whole time. And it was basically because it was Cincinnati playing up to their competition.
Right.
Now, the other thing, too, is the Chiefs could be like, you know what, enough of this, because I'm promising you guys. I'm promising you. When we do this show Thursday, we will have at least three cuts from that Cincinnati locker room where there is something to be said about the Chiefs, because their only strategy right now is to try to get in the heads of the Chiefs, and they haven't ever since they put Burrowhead to rest.
Well, let's see, that's the thing, though. They're going to try to go out there and insult the Chiefs on their way to Arrowhead on Sunday, right? That's going to be their M.O. That's been their M.O. in the past. Jake Browning, that's the
guy,
right?
Thanks to Kevin for that. Thank you,
yeah,
Kevin.
I knew it was Jeff something. So when you play that game of your only defense basically is to attack the other team or other person or however you want to do that, that's a loser mentality.
Sure it is.
I mean, when you stand up there on Wednesday or Thursday or whatever day of the week it is, and you're Jamar Chase, and all you have to do is throw shots at the Kansas City Chiefs, a team that has owned the NFL for the last 5 years, that's an insecurity, in my opinion. And you know you're not as good. But the thing is, everybody comes to Kansas City and plays well. Teams love playing at Arrowhead Stadium because it's an atmosphere they don't experience. It raises their level. As much as we think it's great for us and our team, the other teams thrive on this. They love the atmosphere at Arrowhead Stadium because you don't get that anywhere else. But it's also like what KU basketball was for a generation and a half. Every game that they played was that other team's Super Bowl. Every team raised their level. And I know fans want to see these big-time blowouts in these games in the NFL. We're probably not going to see a lot of big-time blowouts with the Kansas City Chiefs because every team that's playing them that week is raising their level of play, and they're going to play the best that they will all season long. Because if you beat the Chiefs, man, you gain a lot for that. Everybody's going to notice. Everybody's going to talk about it. People are going to put you up as a cult hero and a big time figurehead, and everybody's going to love you up because you beat the big bad Kansas City Chiefs. So everybody plays this team tough. They're not going to have an easy game, save Carolina, on the schedule this year. Everybody is going to bring their best. Everybody's going to ball their ass off. And that's what even makes what the Chiefs are doing even more significant, is that every single week they go into a game knowing that it's the other team's Super Bowl, and the Chiefs are still winning at an amazing, alarming 80% rate or whatever it is. It's really wild. There's not a lot of teams in professional sports that can take on every team every week in their sport and have to play their best and still put out the record that the Chiefs are putting out on. So these teams are bringing their best, they're playing their best, they're giving the Chiefs challenges, and the Chiefs are still finding ways to win these football games. That's because they're head and shoulders better than everybody else. This is going to be, I would imagine, a close game into the fourth quarter, and it's probably going to take like some 4-minute drive at the end to ice this thing away from Cincinnati.
Yeah, I think the opposite. I think they get blown out.
I just don't. We haven't seen a blowout really in this Bengals Chiefs series, have we? You know, since this thing has started the last couple of years.
We haven't gotten to play them at the beginning of the season though.
You're right about
that. That's when they're terrible.
And that is when they're terrible. Right?
We also haven't played them when the sky is falling.
Yeah. And the sky is falling. But you know what? If Joe Burrow is a leader and Zach Taylor is a leader, you reel this thing in this week and you let your team know, guys, enough of this kind of stuff. be a leader, you know, be the guy that's in charge, be the guy that's going to set the tone. Don't allow T. Higgins or Ja'Marr Chase or whoever run the narrative of what your team is about. Go out there and tell them to just shut up and play football and see if Ja'Marr Chase can do it. I don't know that he can, but why don't you let your talking be done on Sunday afternoon instead of after a game or before a game? Because Ja'Marr Chase probably will cash in with his antics off the field before he's going to cash in with his antics on the field.
Yeah, I mean, give me the Chiefs by 14. They're 6-point favorites already.
I saw 6.5 at one point, yeah, even in this
six
game.
6-point favorites.
I mean, and that line came out immediately after they lost to the New England Patriots, people. But see, that's the scary point. A lot of people are going to buy into, oh, they lost to the Patriots. People are going to be hot on New England. People are going to be cold on Cincinnati. And at the end of the year, Cincinnati's probably going to be in the playoffs, and New England's going to be fighting for a top 5 pick.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody's hot on New England. I think everyone just realizes that Cincinnati just absolutely...
I don't know. You're going to see people, hey, look at New England. They're better than we thought.
I mean, they are. They started the season 1-0. Yeah, we thought they were going to start off 0-4.
Yeah.
Speaking of starting off 0-4, please be the Cleveland Browns. They signed former Chiefs wide receiver Kadarius Toney to the practice squad.
Somebody called him a playmaker, yes. Oh, Ian Rappaport said they signed playmaker Kadarius Toney, to which I said, playmaker?
Mm-hmm. Says, source, former Chiefs wide receiver Kadarius Toney is signing with the Browns, giving Cleveland another playmaker. He also visited with the Seahawks and had others lined up before long and short term. Toney lands in Cleveland. I believe they signed him to the practice squad. My one quick question for both of you is he on their roster come November 24th when the Chiefs and Browns play?
I don't know that he's still on the practice squad by then. I think he's going to go out there and prove that he doesn't belong in the NFL anymore.
Yeah, I think they needed any offense they can get. Yeah, they'll try.
Ladarius Toney.
Ladarius.
That's right. Tough Tuesdays. We get into this real quick. Tough we go Tuesday. To, you know, coaches on the hot seat. We call this Tough Tuesdays. Bob Mack and myself, Dusty Likens, we will give you what we think are our coaches on the hot seat, overreaction, you could call this, or somebody who maybe is under the microscope of could be getting fired. I can, to start us off here, I think my number one is Sean Payton. How much more losing can he do? That is a franchise that is owned by a lot of money. Obviously, the Walmart money is there. They got rid of Russell Wilson. They didn't care. I get it. Bo Nix is a rookie quarterback. Sean Payton has got a huge contract. But at some point, Sean Payton needs to be threatened with his job if he's just going to continue losing. That's how the NFL works. Uh-huh. That's uh-huh. what it is. And when you have an ownership group that has a ton of money, they simply don't care. My other two,
which is the best job to have if you're an NFL head coach, work right. for an owner that's got a lot of money that can pay you to go away.
Exactly. Or put in a contract that if you get fired, you get some sort of incentive. The other one would be
you got to pay out your deal.
We saw last night, Robert Saleh, I think his seat will get hot. Mm-hmm. Obviously it's New York. It's Aaron Rodgers. We've seen this before where veteran quarterback and coach, if they don't, you know, mesh well, they tend to lean with the quarterback most of the time. Or that quarterback will just retire and then the coach is fired and then they restart from everything else. Robert Saleh is a tough Tuesday coach for me. And then Dave Canales.
Who?
Wow, Dave Canales already.
Come
Who the
on,
hell is
man.
That?
He's a coach in Carolina.
Offensive coordinator from Tampa Bay. This is his first year as a head coach. First game. Already hot seat.
Yeah, you know how that organization
Have
runs.
Have you seen what Carolina does? They fired Frank Reich after half a season.
Yeah, Frank sucks.
Bryce Young's had two coaches in 2 years. In a year and a half, he's had two coaches. Yeah. He's about to have three coaches and another one come next year because that's just how Carolina works, man. Their ownership is an absolute fraud. It's an absolute clown show, and they just fire people left and right. So that's why I think his seat is hot, because I guarantee that owner went in his office and said, hey, we can't have that. We can't have Derek Carr looking like Peyton Manning against us. Let's not have that. So just think about it. Just, you know, think about it. It's like, that's where the hot seat comes in. Not that he necessarily will get fired, but I guarantee you that owner's going in there going, hey, man, that can't happen anymore.
Dave Tepper's wild.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, very wild.
But if you really want to turn your organization around, you can't continue to roll through head coaches, right? And I don't know who Dave Rucanal is, but best of luck to you down there, pal.
Go ahead, fellas, with your Tough Tuesdays.
Mac, you want to go first?
Yeah, I got Doug Peterson. I mentioned him in the offseason. He was my number one hot seat guy. Yeah. Less 10-win seasons than Chip Kelly. He's got that one Super Bowl with a great Philadelphia team that's going to prop him up. I don't know how much longer it can do so. They signed Trevor Lawrence to a huge contract. That offense has to look good. Scored 17, up 17-0 on Miami. A donut for the rest of the game.
Yeah, well, you would have had another touchdown if Travis Etienne didn't fumble away the
100%.
Season. And he did. He fumbled away the season for Jacksonville. I mean, you laughed yesterday. Now you're calling for Doug Peterson to be fired today.
But I was
today,
before the season. That was my number one hot seat guy.
You can't have if he doesn't fumble, Jacksonville wins that game going away. I mean, absolutely wins that game going away if he doesn't fumble that one there.
But you're still up three scores. You got to figure that out. Zach Taylor, we mentioned all of the things. I think that the implosion's going to continue. I had them missing the playoffs this season. I feel pretty good about it. Robert Saleh, 18-33 as a head coach. And yeah, we've talked enough about it. I think that the whole reset's going to happen in New York after the season if it doesn't go right.
It needs to go and be reset there. And I don't know if it needs to be reset with the quarterback and head coach or just with the quarterback, because Aaron Rodgers is boring. There's just no other way to phrase him right now. He's a boring quarterback to watch, and I'd rather go out there and watch, you know, some middle of the tier like a Caleb Williams play then go out there and watch an Aaron Rodgers go out there and sling the ball around. So I think right now that situation is a mess in New York. That's why Aaron Rodgers is my number one coach on the hot seat right now. He assembled that team. He called the plays. He threw the passes, like literally did everything, and they stunk last night. They were an embarrassment on offense last night. I thought Aaron Rodgers was as washed up as they get. Zach Taylor for me is a little bit on the hot seat depending on how they come out of this thing, right? I think if we get to the end of September and they're sitting at 0-4, it's really going to be turned up hot. And then Brian Daboll for me has to be on the hot seat as well. The Giants look like a deficient high school team on Sunday. They probably looked worse than anybody else out there, and even Carolina. And I say that is because now we're in like year 75 of Daniel Jones, and he's still doing the same type of stuff, right? Fans are waiting outside the stadium to boo him and burn his jersey. At least Bryce Young is in his second year, second head coach. You could make a couple excuses for him. This Daniel Jones thing, this guy, he looks like a bad high school quarterback. So I think Brian Daboll next to Aaron Rodgers, the two New York head coaches, those guys are on the hot seat.
Yeah, I mean, it can be really, really nice to coach in New York. It can be very, very stressful. That's a fact. I want to pay homage to a guy that we lost yesterday at the age of 93. It is no secret James Earl Jones left this earth. What a life, what he meant to all of us, and what our favorite James Earl Jones role could be. This is Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Back in on 96.5 The Fan, Fesco and Dusty with executive producer Mac Morey on a Tuesday. The sun is starting to come up. We have another beautiful day ahead of us. Oh, man. This one's going to sting a little bit. I'm just going to be honest with you. This topic's going to sting because every once in a while, there is a celebrity death that maybe hits you a little bit differently. And I've got friends that just are kind of just emotionless to be like, well, I didn't know James Earl Jones, so it doesn't really affect me.
Oh, come on.
And I'll be honest with you, when Buffett passed away, I was pretty saddened because I know what he meant to my father and what he meant to our family growing up. Like, we would listen to Cheeseburger in Paradise, and my dad would make Cheeseburgers in Paradise. How dare you put anything other than Heinz 57, French fried tomatoes, however you had to eat it that way.
Look, I'll tell you, that Jimmy Buffett's been dead now for over a year, and there isn't a day that goes by where we don't talk about missing him, either in my family text or with my daughter or somebody like that. Like, there are certain celebrity deaths that do hit you really, really hard.
And there's, you know, yesterday when we kind of got the information. Of course, TMZ tweets it, so you know it's real.
Right.
And James Earl Jones was announced that he had passed away at the age of 93.
Which I thought James Earl Jones would be one of those guys who would just never die. like you really thought he was going to be there forever, right?
And the best part I think about, before I get into my favorite James Earl Jones role, I think the best part about James Earl Jones is that he's not a guy that is on the front of the screen like a Tom Cruise or a Brad Pitt or a Leonardo DiCaprio or even a Christian Bale or a, you know, modern day like a Timothée Chalamet. That's not who his role was. But yet you could say that he's way more impactful as a Hollywood actor than any of those guys.
No doubt.
Right? Like, he wasn't the action star. He was the voice of Darth Vader, who's probably the number one villain of all time.
Mm-hmm. And arguably the number one misquoted movie line of all time as well.
And to me, you can look at all these roles that he played, but my favorite role of James Earl Jones is Old Man Myrtle from The Sandlot.
That's a great one. It's a fun
and
one, yeah.
It's because of, and I'll play the audio.
You knew Babe Ruth?
George? I sure did. And he knew me. He was almost as great a hitter as I was. I would have broken his record, too, but
you went blind.
Yep. I used to crowd the plate so that strike zone almost disappeared. pitchers hate that. That's the way I played, 100% all the time. Baseball was life, and I was good at it, real good. And then, one day, a high fast went in, pow, the lights went out.
I don't think we could take this ball.
I'll tell you what. You guys come by here once a week and talk baseball with me. We'll call it an even trade.
Yeah. God, what a scene.
So good.
I mean, I literally have goosebumps on my arms because you could ask anyone in my family, my father, you can't ask my mother, but you can ask my father, my stepmother, my sisters, anybody. My favorite movie growing up was The Sandlot. I can quote that thing from start to finish. And I love his role in that movie because it taught me so much that you don't know someone until you meet them. And that was what his role was. Because if you remember, Squints Palladores was telling everybody that his dad had to arrest old man Myrtle, and he's this grouchy old dude with this giant beast of a dog, which was a mastiff, which they are huge. But like he says in the very end, he's like, oh, you guys should have just came knock on the door. You could have gotten whatever you wanted. Damn it, Squints.
Yeah.
And it's like, he gives this kid a 1927 signed baseball by the Yankees. You know more than anybody. Yeah. If you had that baseball, ain't nobody touching
it. No, that's like that's the coup de grace of teams, you know?
And the best part about that is this whole movie is based off this neighbor who was this evil, ugly, you know, mean guy with this gigantic human-eating dog. And it turns out he's a wholesome baseball guy that loves everything and wants somebody to talk to and talk baseball.
Right.
And gives this guy a way out of his dad, Dennis Leary, which is hilarious, to not get in trouble, even though he gets grounded for the rest of summer and all that sort of stuff. But it's like, you kind of see that that's the James Earl Jones role that always is there. He's that comforting outside of Darth Vader.
Right.
But like, eventually. But like, he's that role. Like, he's the guy. Like, if I don't know. Old Man Myrtle is just my favorite James Earl Jones.
Well, character. And I think it resonates because I think everybody had that guy in their neighborhood when they were kids growing up. Now, I don't know how much of that resonates today because kids don't play outside. They're on their Nintendos all the time playing those video games and all that other nonsense that they do. And the Dan Fogelberg and I sound old. But Mr. Endress was kind of that guy in our neighborhood growing up, right? Mm-hmm. Like he kind of lived by himself. He didn't know. And I started shoveling his front walk and became
like,
yeah,
that neighbor where you're like, oh, saying, that old lady's a grouch. Your dog sucks.
Yeah, right.
Really, it's like, hi, Miss Morris. Yeah. Nice to meet you.
She's just a lonely old lady that's looking for some friends or something, somebody to talk to. And so I think everybody had that guy. But for me, I think yesterday I was starting to go through the James Earl Jones rabbit hole. And when I listened back to this again, I started breaking down crying listening to this speech by James Earl Jones, because to me, Field of Dreams is one of, if not the best baseball movie, sports movies, movies in general out there, because the big meaning of it was, you know, you're going to have the opportunity one last time to play catch with your father, right? Mm-hmm. And who wouldn't want that opportunity? I think for every boy and girl out there to have that one last opportunity to play catch with your dad really, really resonates. And through this whole movie of Field of Dreams, you're expecting it to be all about like this baseball, but it was really about Ray and getting the opportunity to mend that fence with his father. And when I hear this, you know, quote from James Earl Jones in Field of Dreams, it brings me back to 2014 and 2015 when everything was freaking awesome baseball-wise in this town.
The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball. America has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It's been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt and erased again. But baseball has marked the time. This field, this game, it's a part of our past, Ray. It reminds us of all that once was good, and it could be again. Oh, people will come, Ray. People will most definitely come.
And that's the best speech in movie history for my money, because I'm a baseball dork. I love my father. That's the father-son bonding type thing that you have, you know, in that movie. And hearing that gives me goosebumps all the time. And then you think about those 2014 and 2015 Royals, and we'll talk about the 2014 Royals with Eric Cosmer coming up at 8:00 this morning here on 96.5 The Fan. But it just always brings me back to that time when things were so awesome from a baseball perspective. And I still get choked up thinking about 14 and 15 and thinking about that movie line, because he's right.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Right, like baseball is what takes us away from everything. Every night it's there. It's that constant. Every night it's in your living room. Every night it's on your radio. Every night you're there with baseball. Could have a bad day, but man, you flip on that game and it takes you away from all that negativity and all the nonsense that you experienced that hard day. Baseball really is like a friend, man. It's there for you every single night. And then the winter comes, you're like, damn, what am I going to do? And then your friend comes back in the spring and it's good again.
If it ain't Mr. Myrtle and it ain't Darth Vader, it's not Field of Dreams. By God, it's Mufasa, isn't it?
Everything the light touches is our kingdom.
Wow.
A king's time as ruler rises and falls like the sun. One day, Simba, the sun will set on my time here and will rise with you as the new king.
And this will all be mine?
Everything.
Everything the light touches. What about that shadowy place?
That's beyond our borders. You must never go there, Simba.
But I thought a king can do whatever he wants.
Oh, there's more to being king than getting your way all the time.
There's more?
Simba. Everything you see exists together in a delicate balance. As king, you need to understand that balance and respect all the creatures, from the crawling ant to the leaping antelope.
Dad, don't we eat the antelope?
Yes, Simba, but let me explain. When we die, our bodies become the grass, and the antelope eat the grass. And so, we are all connected in the great circle of life.
By God, praise be.
Oh, my gosh.
By God, Ooh. Praise be. I'm not crying, you're crying.
Oh, my God.
That's, like, that's Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens. I cried last night, but for a different reason. Not because of the death of James Earl Jones, because of, it might be time to see somebody go away from this bullpen. This is Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.